All right, so if you guys can, if you could turn to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be going over a couple of healings that Jesus did. The title of today's message is, What Do You Expect? And I'll give you guys a few moments to get there. Luke chapter 7. Third book of the New Testament. And so today, as we're talking about the Roman officer that calls upon Jesus, but then we're also going to be talking about one of his first times that he's resurrected somebody from the dead. This isn't just Lazarus. We all know the story of Lazarus where Jesus is mourning, he cries, and then he goes to the tomb and he tells Lazarus to come forth in a very probably dramatic way. Lazarus, who comes forth, I don't know if I at first would be rejoicing after somebody that is walking out of a tomb after 3 days, or if I'd be scared. And so today, we're going to be talking about the Roman soldier whose servant was sick, but then also, like I said, one of Jesus' first resurrected people. And what's so great about these two is it shows that Jesus doesn't do the same thing every single time. He can heal people, he can raise them from the dead, he can cast out demons, but he doesn't always do it in the same manner. It's the same thing that with us is that he never does anything in the same manner. But yet we oftentimes get into that mentality that Jesus has to do something in the way that he's always done it in our life. And so starting off in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, When Jesus had finished saying all these things, all of this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At the time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish leaders to ask him to come and heal his slave. Now, him going to Jesus probably wasn't his first spot they started out at, because his slave is sick and almost to death. He's almost about to die. So I'm pretty sure that this Roman officer had his military physicians look at him. He had his Roman physicians look at him. He had everybody looking at him. And then finally he heard about Jesus and said, why not? Let's give it a shot. But he had heard so much about Jesus that he believed that Jesus could do it. So he sent some Jewish leaders. Mind you, at this point, the Jewish elders did not like Jesus. But in Roman captivity, if a Roman told you to do something, you had to do it. Otherwise, they could kill you right there on the spot. It even goes to the point to where when Jesus says, if they ask you to walk 1 mile, you walk 2. A lot of it has to go with like what we were talking about last week, or in the scripture that we went over last week, where he says, if somebody asks you for their coat, give your shirt as well. He's saying, go the extra mile, be kind to the enemies, and the Romans could be as cruel and as mean as they wanted to be. And so this Roman soldier, he probably knew that the Jewish elders didn't like him, but yet he had no authority himself to go to Jesus. And so in verse 4 it says, So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So this Roman soldier, he's not like the other Roman soldiers. He has respect for the people that are there. He has respect for their ways of thinking. He probably wasn't a Jew himself, but yet he respected the Jewish people. He had authority over them, but he showed them compassion. And so he sent them, and the message that he gave them is probably, don't take no for an answer. Because these guys, they had to step away from their own prejudiceness against Jesus or their own hatred for Jesus. And it says that they earnestly begged him. It wasn't just like, okay, this guy needs help. Can you come and help him? No, it was they were begging Jesus to come. They wanted Jesus so badly. They wanted to please this Roman officer so badly that they were willing to beg Jesus. The fact that this Roman officer built them a synagogue instead of tearing it down like the rest of the Roman officers were. And we can see, if you look at history, you can see just how the Romans did things. They were much like the Babylonians, where when they went into an area and they conquered it, what they would do is they would destroy everything that had to do with that culture. Because they didn't want people to follow their own ways. They wanted to break them so bad that they had no place to turn but to the Roman, but to Rome. And so then, throughout all of Judea, many synagogues were destroyed by this point. Many Jews were they weren't allowed to practice their own religion. But yet this Roman officer had the respect for him that he built a synagogue for them. And in return, they felt obligated. They wanted to please this Roman officer because they knew that he could turn just as quickly to being a cruel and mean officer. And so then verse 6 says, so Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And so this guy, like I said, he heard about Jesus. He's heard about all the stuff that he's done by this point. He's turned water into wine. He's cast out multiple demons. He's done all these things to bring glory to God. And even with the Jews, who's probably twisting it and turning it, he knew that Jesus had something that the Jews didn't have. Jesus had something that nobody else under his authority could have. And so he's saying, you know what? You don't need to come to me. All you have to do is just say it from where you're at. And so do we have that mentality? Do we have the mentality that this Roman officer has to where we're like, okay, God, you know what? I know you can handle it. Or we're like, God, come here so that you can take care of it. Which side are we at? Are we demanding God to follow our way? Or are we willing to just say, you know what, you have authority. You have the ability. When we come to church, do we ask God to be here? Or are we coming to church to be here with God? I know those two statements sound very similar, but when we come here and we demand that God meet us here, then what we're doing is we're putting us in front of God. We're saying we're the one with authority, as opposed to us coming to church to meet God who is already here. We're then, at that point, we're saying, you have the authority. Your presence is already there. I want to come to your presence instead of you coming into mine. I want to know you instead of me demanding of you. Do we treat God as a genie that whenever we need him, we just rub the Bible, get on our knees, put our hands together, clench them tight, say a very fervent prayer, and he answers it? Or we're like this Roman soldier where we are willing to send people to beg on our behalf. And then when, as he's coming, he's saying, no, don't worry about coming all the way here. You know what? You can just say it and I know it'll be done. You just speak the words and it's done. His analogy that he puts is that he's all, I'm under my superior officers. They tell me where to go, I go. But then I can tell my soldiers what to do, and they do it. I tell my slaves what to do, and they do it. And he's saying, you're the same way. He's honoring Jesus. He's respecting Jesus in a manner that most of us don't even understand. He didn't even find himself worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. Now, is he just kind of buttering up Jesus? I don't know. But what Jesus does in verse 9, and then he says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to the house, they found the slave completely healed. The man trusted Jesus so much. Yes, Jesus may have been his last resort, but the fact that he put all of his trust into this one thing. He respected and honored Jesus